Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Joker, he was in his bag last night. Well, Embiid watched on. Wait until you see the updated MVP odds. Plus, I mean, all of a sudden, here come the Wolves and the Pelicans. Are we sleeping on both squads as the playoffs approach? And not headed for the playoffs, Ben Simmons. He was shut down by the Brooklyn Nets for the year, so we're going to dive into that news in a matter of minutes. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Malika Andrews. And don't look now, but we have 2 weeks. We're just 2 weeks away from the first set of play-in games, and there are so many iterations of the way all this can shake out. So at this very moment, this is how the play-in would look. We would have the Warriors and the Pelicans facing off in that 7-8 bracket, by the way. We get a little sneak preview of that tonight. And then in the 9-10 spot, the Lakers and the Thunder. The Thunder are also in action tonight without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So as of now, just two games, baby. They separate the Wolves, who are clinging to that sixth seed, and the Dallas Mavericks, who are on the outside looking in 11th place. So we have Golden State and Oklahoma City. They have the most favorable schedules of the five teams that are in this mix. And then the Pelicans, they have the third toughest remaining schedule in the NBA with every matchup against a playoff hopeful team. So here are some of the biggest players in this race talking about this crazy home stretch. In the NBA, it never sleeps. The race for the West is going to be a fun one down the stretch.
We can't waste any more time. We can't waste any more games. Would I rather have a sound and secure spot in the postseason? Yeah, who wouldn't?
Just to have fun, smiling on court, but it's just been so frustrating.
We let these two games go, and so we got to figure out how to stop the bleeding.
We're still trying to win championships, but we're also trying to stay out the play-in, too.
It's a great win for us. Must win.
We're in good shape.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do still. Every game is going to be tough for us, especially going on the stretch.
We just need wins in general. However we can get them.
The West is wide open.
Camera. We're just, get your finger out of my armpit. We're just happy to see Jalen Rose welcoming
in
the man with the best hair in television.
Thanks.
And Richard Jefferson.
And the best baldy.
All right, let's get into some superlatives for these teams that are jockeying for these play-in spots, the sixth seed in this race. So this is where I want to start. Oof, I forgot. Thick thigh saves lives. The most at stake. Who you guys got?
Most at stake? Go ahead. I'll give it to the OG
first.
This
is easy. The Western Conference has a gentleman that's in the conversation of greatest basketball player of all time, who also just broke the scoring record, but he's not getting any younger. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh.
If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both healthy and they miss the playoffs, oh my goodness, they won't be able to live that down.
I don't know who I got most at stake. Put it up there.
Oh, that's why
the
you want
to
go first.
You know why? That's why I want you to go first. You know why the Mavericks? It's because there's been so much confusion right now. And the reason why I say this, Luka is not happy. When superstars aren't happy, we know the way this is. It's a players' league, good or bad, say whatever you want. And they're doing things. They're taking risks. They're trying to figure out. They're bringing in superstars. Things aren't clicking. But the number one person that you're worried about is making sure that that guy that's going to be a 12-time more all-star future MVP, he's happy.
All right. I like that. I think I might be with you on the Mavericks. Jalen Rose, the highest ceiling, who do we think?
The highest ceiling is, again, these Los Angeles Lakers. And here's why. They won a championship with this dynamic duo in the bubble, right? So now say they, for example, get into the playoffs at, say, 7 seed.
Okay.
Or a 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
You now get a chance to go against a team that hasn't been there or done that, maybe like Memphis, potentially.
Sacramento,
probably. And I'll ask Richard Jefferson this. If the Lakers were to play the Kings in the first round.
Oh, Lakers. I'm taking Lakers.
So who has the highest ceiling?
Who's got the highest ceiling? Roll it up. Let's see who we got. The Warriors. You know why I picked the Warriors? See, I kind of know. I know what I picked. But the reason why it's the Warriors is because, look, they are that team. They've been struggling with stuff. They had a tough preseason. Obviously, we know it's all been talked about. But I think the thing that's most important about the Warriors is that they're a great team at home. They're getting a little bit better on the road. But you don't know. They're still the defending champs. And I'm not taking out any champ until they take themselves out. So if they're involved, they're the highest ceiling.
But I have to say this. They may win a first-round series, but they ain't winning the West without Wiggins.
Without who?
Without Wiggins.
Amen.
They're not winning the West without Wiggins.
It was so important to them
in the
finals.
Biggest question mark. I remember who I said.
Who'd you say?
Roll at the Pelicans, right? Zion Williamson.
Yep.
That is why, because they reached as high as, I think, one or two in the West, right? So they were rolling. He was balling. You got Brandon Ingram. You got all the pieces there, but his health. That's the question. So if he comes back healthy over these final 7-8 games that they have and he starts getting into a rhythm, will they go back to being a top three team in the conference? That's why that's the biggest question mark. Without him, they are a 7-8-9. With him, they are a 3-2-4, somewhere in that range. I don't think they're the best team with him, but they're in the top three or four with him.
Not that I haven't seen Kevin Durant be one of the greatest players of all time.
Sure.
But he could also be the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, great minds think alike. He got to be Zion.
He
got to be Zion.
I didn't even know my answer.
Here's a guy that, when healthy, is giving you 27 points to 60%+ from the field. Brandon Ingram is the reigning Western Conference Player of the Week. If they get this guy back healthy,
first team All-NBA. Mm-hmm.
They got a chance to do
He's
something
special.
He's a
first team All-NBA caliber player. That's what you're looking for. And player you want to least face, right? So I thought about Steph, right, and the Warriors, right? But then I remember LeBron and the Lakers beat Steph and the Warriors last time they were in the play-in. So player I least want to see is LeBron. And it's not just because he's LeBron James. That's not what I want to hear. One, this man knows how to dissect a game. He knows how to dissect a team. He's won game sevens in multiple playoff series, including a championship. So if you put this individual in a one-game situation in the play-in, there's not a person in either conference that I think that you truly don't want to see, especially from the teams that are in that range.
I'm going to go with the guy that puts up astronomical numbers like no other player in the league on the perimeter. Luka. Because when you get he and Kyrie Irving in a playoff series and the game slows down, who you gonna double team?
Now
all of a sudden, Luka gets you on the mid post. Kyrie gets you on the swing action. Kyrie is a champion. I don't have to tell you this.
You do not.
You were getting a ring when he made the right side jump shot at Golden State. Yeah. So I want to see these guys in the playoffs together.
Now, the one thing I will say about this, play it one game situation, playoff series for me, wise, they are so god-awful at every statistical defensive category. Like they're in the ranks of the Houstons, Detroit. In that range. It's like them, Houston, Detroit, like all of the worst teams in the league. Offensively, they're up in the middle. They have all the talent. Defensively, I can't trust a single team that is that bad defensively, if they're a 7-8 seed.
But when you look at who has the most at stake and you're saying it's the Dallas Mavericks and the player you least want to face being Luka Doncic, that could be a pretty lethal combination. Going to be motivated, right, to get out of this category that we're looking at.
But none of those teams are in the highest ceiling.
So this is the Western playoff picture, right? I do want to take a quick look at the Eastern playoff picture here.
I like
Brooklyn Nets, they're chilling at 6 right now. Then we have the Heat at 7, the Hawks 3 games out from that 60 spot, 9 Raptors, 10 is the Chicago Bulls. So we have a developing story, though, that impacts the seeding.
What?
The standings, the way they look now. The Brooklyn Nets, they're shutting down Ben Simmons for the rest of the season. That is what Coach Jacques Vaughn said this morning.
Mask and gloves.
Now, Simmons, he hasn't played Jaylen since the Nets' final game before the All-Star break. That was last month due to a nerve issue in his back. So he's missed a total of 33 games this season. That is due to both a knee injury and a back injury here. So you can see here, Ben Simmons, he played 42 games. His salary for the season, it was $35.4 million. That figure jumps to $37.9 million next season, and then $40 million 2 seasons after that. So as it figures now, both of those figures would rank in the top 20 highest salaries in the NBA. So there's a whole lot going on.
Keep
there.
Getting them checks.
I want to bring in Chinne Agumake, Zach Lowe into the conversation. And Zach, I'm not necessarily asking here if you were surprised about Ben Simmons, but maybe just your reaction to hearing that he's not going to be returning for the Brooklyn Nets this year.
Yeah, I long ago operated under the assumption we would not see Ben Simmons until next year. So it barely even registered on my Twitter onto the next thing. And it's just sad. You just hope we can come back and see the Ben Simmons that we used to see, 16-6-6, all defense level defense, that guy. But the Nets really have moved on. When you look at they got what they got for Durant, what they got for Kyrie, all the picks they got, all of that stuff, they've kind of moved on to the next phase of the franchise with or without Ben Simmons. So it was kind of a shrug and a hope from me today.
Yeah, I saw those numbers, and hopefully we can put up the contract numbers back, Director Tommy, because I was just thinking immediately when I heard this news that he's probably the most expensive player in basketball relative to his production in the way that is not the best, right? Only giving you, what, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, career lows across the board, and you're paying him that much, that makes you very expensive in the worst ways possible. But when I think about the big picture here, the Nets, they can't afford to give up on a player like that because of the contract and the situation that they're in. Right. There are not many buyers there for it. But the big question here is, will Ben Simmons give up on himself? Like, it feels like we're witnessing him in this situation, this season, sort of give up on himself, because you think about confidence offensively. He was never really that huge offensive go-to player, even though he averaged double figures in seasons past.
Right.
But defensively is where he gets his bread and butter. And you look at, okay, if you're going to try to find defensive confidence, all right, like, what are the numbers? They're only 1 point better defensively when he's on the floor. And that, to me, is like another red flag. But I do think that the silver lining here is just the, you know, idea that he switched agency, he switched his representation.
Right.
Now they're saying let's reset for next year, and maybe that whole time will be a better fresh start for him to really feel better when he comes back.
All right. I think the best way to say this is that we root for every player. We know how hard it is to get here. We know how hard it is to get drafted, a second contract. But do I have any emotional feeling towards it? Now, Jalen, how many guys you know played 6-7 years and are selling insurance?
Most.
How many guys you know that played 8-9 years and, you know, we just never hear from again?
Many.
So, like, we sit here because it's involved. We sit here because we're connected. But do we have any emotional connection to this? No, because we've seen it all before. We've seen players with all the talent in the world not make it. We've seen players with all the talent in the world decide to just move on and step away from the game. So when I look at this situation with Ben Simmons, yeah, we root for every player. I have not met a player that I don't root for the best. But when you ask me about Ben Simmons, I know a lot of guys like that. Because this is what we do. This is what we've done. I wasn't the best player on my AAU team. I wasn't the best player on my college team. A lot of guys don't make it out. If this is his story and this is how it finishes, then I wish him the best. I wish him nothing but love. And I wish that he just continues and lives his life.
Richard, I think this is interesting just because of the great expectations. When he came into the league, he was like that prodigy. He was that phenom, right? Yeah. And there were great expectations on him. A lot of comps to LeBron James and how he was able to facilitate the ball. And then he goes to a team where he's successful. I think it's just this rapid decline that unfortunately is circumstantial. You look at the Brooklyn Nets overall, they had so many stars, they're all gone, and now the star remaining is the one that probably is the hardest one to try to revive. And that's a difficult place as a franchise, that's a difficult place as a player to be. You know, it's been a transitional year, but nonetheless, we haven't seen any evidence to feel like we feel better about it, which is why, you're right.
We've all been injured.
We all deal with the reality of the game.
We've all been injured.
But I think it's the expectations and the microscope on Ben Simmons that makes this unique.
Don't care.
So the job turnover and the volatility of it in the NBA is as risky as it gets in any professional sport.
Mm-hmm.
When we finish this season, there's going to be 80 guys that was on rosters this year that won't be on teams next year.
That's part of a life.
And when Ben Simmons got traded to the Nets, the first thing I saw was, okay, he was all NBA All-Star with Sixers.
Yeah.
Won't be All-Star with Nets. So now, psychologically, to both of you guys' point, as a player, is he going to have the mental fortitude once he gets back healthy to reinvent himself as a role player? Because that's what he's going to be called upon to be going forward. And lastly, this game is so very hard when you can't shoot.
Mm.
This game is so hard when you can't shoot. And psychologically, I always felt he was going to the bucket, finishing with his right hand, but going to the free throw line, shooting with his left hand. And I felt the entire time he was shooting with the incorrect hand. And so for a guy that played on the perimeter, doesn't shoot shots outside of the paint at all, that's another psychological barrier that he's going to have to get over.
But he's a big man, right? He's a big man. He's still 6'10". So there's things that he can do to adjust his game.
Correct.
You've seen it over the course. It's like, okay, then I'm a roll and finish guy. And it's like lots of guys shoot terrible from the free throw line. Yep. It's just you can't have a fear to go there. And so I sit here, and when we talk about coddling players, and again, I root for Ben Simmons, but when we talk about coddling players, it's like the NBA is not made for everyone. So, winning championships is not made for everyone.
The league will humble
the
you
league,
eventually.
The league will just be like, all right, we'll move on.
But here's what makes it different for Ben. He's a tall guy. Not a big guy.
Yep.
He's a primary ball handler, Richard.
He's a big dude.
He's a perimeter player.
He's a perimeter player, though. He played point guard, okay? He wasn't playing five. Now, as a reinvention, he's playing a small ball five on the baseline.
But that's the question, right? Another chapter, another reinvention.
We room for him.
And yeah. That's the thing. It's like you want to see Ben Simmons
healthy,
be able to come back to that level. An All-NBA player, a three-time All-Star.
Almost Defensive Player of the Year.
12th in MVP voting in the 2020-2021 season. Like, he has all of that. It's in matter.
We've just seen it, Monica. Right? We've seen it.
Right?
Where's Brandon Roy? Where's Jonathan Bender? Where's Yao Ming? We've seen guys that dealt with injuries. Mm-hmm. We've seen guys that haven't been able to mentally and emotionally handle this. This ain't, I ain't gonna cuss, but this ain't for everyone. Mm-hmm. It ain't.
Well, the Brooklyn Nets are hoping that it is.
I hope it is. I'm rooting for you,
they
Ben.
They can't.
Seriously,
there is no option for.
Oh, for sure, it ain't personal.
No, right. No.
And there's no option for the Brooklyn Nets for an injury exception there, and they couldn't even file one until a year after he's played his first game. We saw the numbers of the salary there. We have a lot to get to on the show, including we're going to check in with the Phoenix Suns live at their press conference. We're expecting to hear from Kevin Durant, but also last night it was supposed to be the Kings clinching night. But Minnesota, they had other plans. So hear from De'Aaron Fox, and we will assess the Wolves' postseason chances as well. Plus, we have a special edition of Chop It or Drop It, thanks to huge nights from Emmanuel Quickly, Chris Middleton, and of course, I mean, that pass from Luka Doncic.
Oh, crazy.
Defied gravity. Plus, Chinee, she was a judge in last night's dunk contest
with Bronny
James.
What's she doing?
We have a little LeBron controversy to recap. All that and more. Don't go anywhere.
I should have given him a 10, I guess, right?
Yeah.
No. I see you, big sis. What up, though?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express, back with the crew. And we thought, man, we thought the Kings, it was going to be over. The playoff drought for 16 seasons was going to be over last night, and then the Timberwolves happened. So let's take you to Sacramento now and Golden 1 Center, because it was rocking. It was ready. You could feel it in the environment. This looks like a playoff game.
Oh, yes.
It was a playoff game. That's why they needed the win to get into the postseason.
But then Minnesota happened. Second night of a back-to-back here, and it was Jaden McDaniels today.
Mr. Lockdown. Great defensive player whose offense is coming along, 20 points in the last 2 out of 3 games, so he's doing well.
He's doing well. No Karl Anthony Towns because it was the second night of a back-to-back. De'Aaron Fox gets that one to go and one. And then Sabonis.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
That's a strong side though, right?
I mean,
nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Let him hear it, young man.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox going to work. This was a fun game, back and forth the entire way. And then pushing ahead to the fourth
quarter
here.
Your favorite player, Richard?
Who?
Red Velvet.
Ah, the Red Rocket knocking it down. That's my guy.
Hawks should have kept him.
Right?
Abandoned mission.
He's so glad he's gone.
Nas Reed, look out!
Nas Reed plays so hard.
Would I show my age if I say Nas gave him the ether?
No, that's right on par.
Look at Sabonis in that.
I'm stealing that next time I call a game. Nas with the ether.
Rico Bear.
It doesn't hit the same, Richard.
Listen, just stay here with me. All right, we're working.
Look at that.
Oh! Representing the 206. Hey. So I'm doing that in summer league this year.
Sabonis' face here. And he's what? We accept it. So Minnesota gets the win, 119-115. The Kings, they do have an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot with an off night tonight. If the Warriors lose to the Pelicans, the Kings will clinch their first playoff appearance since 2006. Now, Golden State has won 3 straight and 6 of its last 7 at home against New Orleans. So back here with our whole panel, the Timberwolves, they moved out of the play-in and into the 6th seed. And if the playoffs were to start today, they would be matched up against the Kings in the first round. So, Zach, do you think the Wolves have a legitimate chance here of upsetting Sacramento?
Well, let me preface this by saying the least relevant words in sports these days are if the playoffs started today, with how crazy the standings are. It's unbelievable how much shifts every day. But, yes, absolutely the Timberwolves would have a chance. Very quietly and very inconsistently, these guys have kind of been coming together for the last month or so. Jaden McDaniels is playing his best ever ball. Same with Kyle Anderson. Mike Conley has settled in. Rudy Gobert, after taking a lot of slander for the first 2 months of the season, and a lot of it deserved, has looked pretty much like Rudy Gobert for the last month. And now Karl Towns comes back to raise their ceiling to where it needs to be for them to have a chance. Anthony Edwards is a legit number one option. This is just a good, solid team. They're 3-1 against the Kings. I would absolutely not sleep on the Timberwolves winning a playoff series, depending on what, if any, seed they get, because you can't trust any of these teams.
Rich?
Well, I think this is probably the most intriguing matchup right now, because you have somewhat two inexperienced teams. I think Minnesota has some experience, but, you know, if you look at Sacramento, not a ton of experience there. But when you look at Minnesota, right, they've been in the postseason. We know that Conley has been on multiple runs. We know that Gobert has been in the postseason multiple years. So you look at that experience. But I love what Sacramento is doing. I think they do it as a collective unit, right? They have their offense. They have their go-to guy, late fourth quarter finisher in De'Aaron Fox. I think that they have a very well-balanced, well-coached roster. So I think it's the Kings in 7, and I think part of the reason why they get it done in 7 is because Sacramento is going to be crazy in Game 7. Mm-hmm. I think the Timberwolves will push them there because of their experience. That's the one thing, but I think the Kings are the better team.
Richard, I have a very strange take on the Sacramento Kings, and you think, that they could be favored based on their consistency this season. But I do think that they can be upset and it not be the worst thing ever. And I'll explain why. They're right on track with their organization and their team. Oftentimes, when you have good teams building, first they start developing their young guys. They've developed, they've traded, but they've done pretty well in that developmental game. What comes next? That offense. Right now, the Kings are first in offensive efficiency. So the first 2-3 years you develop, next 3-4 years, 2-3 years, your offense and your chemistry is building similar to how we saw. Similar to how we saw the Warriors really develop into a team, similar to how we saw the Grizzlies, right? They're sort of following that same mold. And then lastly, the hardest thing to get to win in the playoffs and win a championship is defensive chemistry. The Warriors built that defensive identity maybe 7-8 years into them being together. And so even though the Kings might enter to the playoffs and that's a win and lose, they're still on time because, one, they have likely a coach of the year, and two, that defense is the last thing to really mold into form. That is that icing on the cake for a championship, team. And why are you looking at me shady, Richard?
I'm looking at you shady because you said a lot, but you didn't say anything.
No, what I'm saying is they can be upset but it not be the worst thing ever in the world.
Well, okay, look, I'm going to correct a little thing. One, the Warriors built their defensive identity like 2 years into what they did. Mark Jackson had them at an elite defensive level, and then they continued to grow. So it wasn't that long. And I think Sacramento Kings are building towards that. But ultimately, the question is this. Do the Timberwolves have a chance to beat the Kings, yes or no?
Yeah, they have a chance. That's but also, when's the last time the Kings have been in the playoffs?
Well, Minnesota.
They're going to have to learn through experience,
Minnesota
too.
Minnesota just had a barely got
but they
their
just
last.
Let's
see if the Sacramento Kings are able to clinch with the Warriors' loss tonight. I don't know. That's
we're going to see. We're going to see Jhené hedge your bets.
Still to come on NBA Today.
Oh, that's not
Yeah, we will. Embiid, he did miss last night's showdown against the Joker, but Nikola, he showed up and showed out. The up-to-the-date MVP odds that you have got to see. Plus, did you guys see this?
What?
This Luka Doncic dime last night, it was insane. Was it the best pass of the season, though? We have a very special top-of-the-top best dimes of the year. And we hinted at it earlier. Last night, Bronny James, he participated in the McDonald's All-American Dunk Contest. So we have some highlights of his throwdown. But was Jhené impressed? That's what I want to know.
I was. It was a hard choice, though. The bar was set high earlier.
Doncic, that low dribble. Behind the back for the highlight, Cleveland. Luka Doncic, an incredible play by Luka. What a throw inside by Luka Doncic on the assist.
What a pass! What a pass from Luka!
Oh my goodness,
what a find by Luka.
Through the legs of Torian Prince,
his fourth time of the night, his most stylish by far.
It is time for Putting in Work, presented by Upwork. Check out this pass from Luka Doncic last night. It doesn't seem, like, does physics even allow for this? Is this possible, Richard?
Well, he's just different. We've seen this since the moment he came in the league. What he can do, not many people have ever been able to do in history.
And the reason why we put an exclamation point on it, because Jaden Hardy knocked down the three.
He did. He said I had to knock down that shot after a pass like that. But it did get us thinking.
Told y'all he
can
ball.
Should we do a little top of the top, top dimes of the season presented by Navy Federal Credit Union?
That,
so here is where we're going to start. We're going to start with a little top razzle. We got some Giannis for you as your first course.
Most underrated part of his game is his passing. I've always said that if you're a big man and you're going to dominate, you got to be able to pass the ball.
Expect this from John Morant? We're usually seeing him, the high-flying guy. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm nice. I'm nice. And then we have John Wall.
That was clean.
To the guy. To Moses, part of the season.
And see, the league comes at you fast because right now he's not on the team.
Well, That's what I meant.
I was saying about the job.
Here's the deal, though. We had to give Jokic his own category. Just top Jokic.
Jokic.
His passes.
Top triple doubles, top passes.
He's the best passer in the league. And I don't think there's a question in my opinion.
Right now?
Right now, he's the best passer in the league.
Between the legs. Oh. Bruce Brown with
like
a lovely
take,
finish.
There.
By the way, if you guys knew the disrespect that goes on in our production room, Forrest said that he could dominate Jokic, beat him at
one-on-one. Yeah, one-on-one.
Oh, that's crazy. Our producer, Forrest,
We'll give you his email later.
Yeah.
And then, I mean.
Oh.
What?
Well, look, he's an Arizona player. We get it. Like, they're just creative. And you can only do that if you got bounce.
So that's you can do a 360 baseline pass there?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
Look at it. I like when Luka looks surprised at his own passes.
And then.
That is
a finger roll pass.
That was crazy. That was like a whole rotation.
Gotta finish it, Big Bo.
Yeah, Gobert.
Oh, you gotta bang.
Come on, Gobert.
And then we have some top precision here. Don't worry, we got more.
Ooh. You like
a little show and go?
What?
It's the hand pass. It's the DeLore
Harris.
And then you got Marcus Smart.
I remember this one.
It doesn't make sense.
It does. He was falling out of bounds. He had no option. Marcus Smart, the creativity's on 10 right there,
Austin,
young fella.
Better do whatever they need to do.
And then we got Josh Giddey.
We got to have some Giddey in there.
Yes.
Giddey's a natural.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Still a youngster.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what else Luka Doncic has in store for us, because he will be featured in our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader.
He's featured in some wins.
Luka, Kyrie, the Mavs, they visit Joel Embiid and the Sixers at 7:30 Eastern. And then we go to the desert for Devin Booker and the Suns. We're going to be checking in on the Suns in just a little bit, actually. They're hosting Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. So last night, Bronny, he had some epic throwdowns in front of Ronald McDonald. But Jhené, were you second-guessing your picks?
I normally do this. This is on brand.
Jhené, which score? 10 or 9, Jhené? Please, Jhené, put up the 10. No! Oh, it's a 9 from Jhené.
Tiger.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by American Express.
All right, let's do it. Let's play a little game. Play a little chop it or drop it. So for those who need a refresher course on how to play, I will ask our panelists about a topic if they want to talk about it. They say we're going to talk it, chop it. And if they want to drop it, you say we're going to drop it. No one gets to talk about it. All right, good, great, let's get it. Last night, Chris Middleton, this is where we're going to start, scored 34 points against the team that drafted him, and Milwaukee beat Detroit without Giannis Antetokounmpo. He added 8 boards, 5 dimes, shot an impressive 13 of 23 from the floor. Milwaukee improved to an NBA best 54-21. So the Bucks, they are the slight favorites over the Celtics to win the East. That is according to Caesars Sportsbook. Milwaukee has a 2-game lead for the one seed, and their two teams split their first two meetings of the season, so they meet one more time the regular season. That is on Thursday. So Jalen Rose, are we going to chop it or drop it? The Bucks are the clear-cut favorites in the East.
I would love to chop it.
Let's do it.
Because this ain't breaking news, but if the Milwaukee Bucks are healthy and they have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, they gonna win it all this year.
Say it one more time.
They gonna win it all this year.
Okay.
Because Giannis is still the best player in the league. Brook Lopez is having one of his best seasons of his career. Bobby Portis in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. Drew Holiday's probably my favorite player in the league, lockdown two-way defender. And you just showed Chris Middleton, he's back playing like himself. They're going to be a problem for anybody.
Rich, what you think?
So the guy that's averaging 20 points a game, 48% from the field, and 5 rebounds and 7 assists, he was missing against the Boston Celtics last year. The Boston Celtics are better. I'm not going to dispute that. But so are the Bucks, and it still took them 7 to get there. They're the best team in the league, and they are better than they were, in my opinion, the last two seasons.
Mm. All right, well, let's keep it pushing. The Knicks, they beat Cheney's Rockets 137-115 last night. Sorry, sis. Emmanuel Quickly, he had a career-high 40 points.
Surprise!
York snapped a 3-game losing streak. Quickly connected on 14 of 18 shots from the field, added 9 assists, starting in place of Jalen Brunson. So Emmanuel Quickly, he is the overwhelming betting favorite here to win Sixth Man of the Year. The Knicks have outscored opponents by 255 points when Quickly is on the floor, the highest mark by any player with less than 20 starts this season. So Quickly would be the first Knicks player to win the award since J.R. Smith in 2013. So Zach Lowe, chop it or drop it. Emmanuel Quickly, he solidified winning the Sixth Man of the Year award after that performance.
Oh, we got to chop it with Emmanuel Quickly, and I don't even know if he needed that performance to solidify his grip on that award. It helped, though. Just think, 6 months ago, all the Emmanuel Quickly talk was, oh, the Knicks, are they going to field calls from teams who want to trade for him? Are they going to want to extend him? He's going to be a big part of the team this year. Now, he might win Sixth Man of the Year, and he has been essential to everything the Knicks are doing, not just his scoring and his passing and his shooting has gone up as the year has gone on. He's a great defensive player. He's one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA, and he has had a fantastic season for the Knicks. When he and Josh Hart are on the floor together, it feels like they have 8 guys crashing the glass. That's how good those guys are rebounding.
So we all in agreement? Yes, Emmanuel Quickly.
Oh, 100%.
Great story.
The man is a stud. When he started, we did a game. It was Knicks versus Boston. It was an overtime game. He started in place of Brunson, who was banged up. And all he did was play 50 minutes and lead their team in scoring. The dude is a stud. The Knicks are in a great place. And this is also why I picked the Knicks, if they play the Cavs, to win in that first round.
Wow, that was a hard pick for you then.
Yeah, takes one to know one. Last night, Nikola Jokic led the Denver Nuggets to a 116-111 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers, who were without their MVP candidate, Joel Embiid. Jokic posted his 29th triple-double of the season, 25 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists. So entering Monday, Embiid was a minus 225 favorite to win MVP, a considerable advantage over Jokic. But when he was ruled out of last night's game, MVP contender matchup, the odds, they began to shift again. So with just under 2 weeks left to play here, Embiid and Jokic are now co-favorites to win the award. So Chiné, chop it or drop it, will these two final weeks ultimately be what decides this MVP race?
That answer is a layup, so we're going to drop it. Absolutely. And I think someone asked, like, oh, is Jokic out of it because of the situation? Absolutely not. He's always been in it.
Yep.
And Embiid, almost like this was a missed opportunity. That's why I'm going to say let's drop it and see what happens these final games.
You say we're dropping it, we're dropping it, but I know this is going to be a fun finish. So, still to come on NBA Today, Kevin Durant, is his return looming? We're going to dive into the latest news out of Phoenix, and we're going to check in on them live at practice. Do not go anywhere. The Powerade Jam Fest, it takes place tonight. And you know who's judging it?
Chiné and NECA. I'm okay with NECA, but Chiné and, you know.
Oh, just
I think a strong nine.
My people are harsh over here.
Chiné.
Am I doing okay?
Bronny James, what you got? Oh, plenty. Chiné, oh, put Chiné up the 10. Which score? 10 or 9, put up Chiné. The 10. Please, Chiné, put up the 10.
No!
Oh, it's a 9 from Chiné. Okay.
No!
Why? Why, Chiné?
So, the Powerade Jam Fest, it was last night. Our very own Chiné Agumike was a judge. And now in the past, you maybe haven't been the most
decisive person, correct?
Person. There was a tiny little controversy that I just want to review. A LeBron controversy here. Let's review the tape here, because Bronny James, he threw down this perfect reverse windmill. Oh,
double reverse two-handed windmill.
And so you can see LeBron.
Missouri gave him a 9.
Wow. Yeah. You are the only person here
that couldn't decide.
Wait. Go back.
He
go back.
This.
Can we go back?
No. They started playing the replay before Chiné.
First of all, we didn't have replays in there, so I would have benefited.
Made a decision.
Yeah, another.
So LeBron weighed in, and he said, it's cool. Should have been tens across the board for sure. I think, is that a sub tweet?
First of all, that is not a sub tweet, because that was not the only person that put up a 9. A lot of people put 9s, but we all know tens go primarily to really unique creative dunks, and then you sort of want to, you know, knock it down the first try.
See, I'm a hater, so I'm going to tell my son that was trash. I'm going to be like, oh, that was 7, that was 9.
But Richard, what would you have given that dunk?
Oh, I would have given it a 10, because to me, I recognize the height of him to catch it.
That's not
off
what you said
bounce.
In commercial break, but it's okay.
I have never said anything despite that. But this one's saying, Bron's a dad. He should think that, right? Like I said, I'm a hater, so I'm not going to say that.
All right.
But can we get to Chiné, speaking of hating? Roll the tape.
What?
Roll the tape.
What?
No, because I said it yesterday. I was saying it earlier in the day. Can we roll this? Now, we got the dunk. Let's see the dunk. Throw the dunk up there for the young fella. This was nice. A little double tap. Double Ooh. Tap. Sean Stewart, love it. I can't do that. So, but look at you, Chiné. How are you the last? Look, you're having this long thought. Look at this.
Even your sister,
NECA, is trying to convince you. Everyone else has put up their numbers. Look at you. You looking around trying to think what other people.
No, but let me tell you why.
Cheating on other
because
people's homework.
I went with a 10 here. That was the Mac McClung. He did that in an NBA All-Star game. So the difficulty was very high. So I switched to a 10, even though everyone.
But look at this. They went to commercial.
I was not allowing peer pressure.
They didn't even wait to your number. They moved on to the replay, Chiné.
They should have put a counter on our ear.
Tap that.
a counter in your ear?
Five, you think four, that three, two. That was difficult.
Okay, you know what? That one was difficult.
He's still deciding.
Do we have another example?
I gave it a 10.
Do we have another example? Do we have any more examples?
I gave it a 10. This is always, because I was not getting peer pressured. I gave it a 10 because it was a difficult dunk by a high schooler.
All I'm going to say is I do not want you in any emergency situations.
Oh, I'm good in emergency situations.
I do not want you.
This
is life or death for these kids.
This is hoops. This is fun.
This is NIL. This is millions.
He also ended up winning. He was just fine. He won. And also, when it comes down to Bronny's dunk, if he made his final dunk, he would have won. The ball was literally in his court to win. What?
Sister, I love you. You know how much I love you. It took too long.
Oh, no, no.
It's
got to
be more decisive.
No, yeah, that's
the
21st
annual McDonald's All-American Girls Game is tonight on ESPN2 at 6:30 Eastern. And then at 9 on ESPN, it's the 46th annual Boys Game from the Toyota Center in where?
H-Town, baby.
In Houston. Coming up next on NBA Today.
Good basketball in Houston?
We will check in on Kevin Durant. Is his return looming? We have an update for you on when you will see Kevin Durant. A date has been circled. That's coming up next.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Kevin Durant has missed the last 10 games, but ESPN is reporting that he will return tomorrow night. So on Wednesday, we will be seeing Kevin Durant. Zach Lowe, we know that they have, what, 7 games together before the playoffs. They do have one back-to-back remaining, so 7 total games in the regular season. What's the biggest question mark that you want answered with Kevin Durant returning to the lineup on Wednesday?
I got no questions about Kevin Durant fitting in. I just want to see he's healthy. Beyond that, it's the rest of the rotation around their big four. Who nails down the fifth starting spot? What's the bench rotation? Can they get enough shooting and defense from their last spot? And can they hold on to that 4 seed? Their margin is getting a little thin, but Devin Booker has propped them up lately. But look, this team could be the favorite in the West with Kevin Durant. I think they probably should be the favorite in the West with Kevin Durant healthy. Let's just see how it looks now and see if they can get rolling.
But one main ingredient is got to be feeding DeAndre Ayton. Hmm. If that doesn't happen, not going to be able to do it. You got to find a way to keep the young fella happy. He going to set screens. He going to rebound. You want him to change shots. You want him to block shots. You got to give a young fella the ball and let him get some buckets.
Well, because he's the one guy that is dependent on others. And that's the issue with this team. Kevin Durant can score on anybody, anytime, any team. He will fit in. Chris Paul is the greatest floor general we've seen of this generation. Devin Booker has been elite since he came into this league. All three of them can go get it when they need it. He is the one person that needs to be filled. And the reason why that is important is because he is the anchor of your defense and your rebound. You have no interior presence. You have nothing. So if you don't feed him consistently, like any other human being that's an elite player, their energy starts to drop. And when his energy starts to drop, their team goes from an A-plus to a B-minus team, and that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, and feeding off of that, I wonder what Kevin Durant, that defensive versatility, I think that's the X factor for them. Mm. We all know DA should be able to go out there and get you 12 to 15 rebounds a night on a great night. And on an off night, maybe it's like a smaller production offensively, but he's got to be consistent anchoring down that defense. But on the perimeter, I know that Devin Booker has improved. You know, Chris Paul is one of the toughest guys, toughest nails on the floor. You think about defensively, Kevin Durant has really improved in that aspect, because I think his offense is so good, you forget that he's switchable, he goes for blocks. So if KD is locked in defensively, this team really has a shot, because defense is the biggest predicator. Is it predictor? Predictor of success when it comes to playoff basketball.
Well, Kevin Durant returning to the lineup on Wednesday. Here's a look at the Phoenix Suns schedule. That game against the Timberwolves will be on ESPN, so we get to see how this group will look with Kevin Durant. Now, there's a lot of ugly in the world right now, right? And I think that we need a little bit more of some joy. And what Devin Booker was able to do over the weekend, not just once, but twice, it's something that made me smile, and I hope it will for you too.
Arizona Sports is your exclusive radio home for Suns basketball with Hall of Famer Al McCoy, Tim Kempton, and John Bloom.
insider access to Suns play.
Listen, I'm in a card shop right now. I just asked this girl what she's looking for. What did you say you're looking for?
She said she's a Devin Booker collector.
Oh, my
she's
God.
She's going through all of your cards right here. How big of a D-Book fan are you?
A really, really big fan. I go to, like, all the Clipper games in L.A. because I, like, watch, like, all the Suns Clipper games in L.A., like, twice this a year to see you play.
He just texted me and said, watch your address and send your signed jersey.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, my favorite NBA player ever.
How awesome is that?
He's my son's favorite player also, so I dig that. I actually told him that. His name is Phoenix, so he was like, who's the best player on Phoenix? And I was like, Devin Booker. He's like, I love Devin Booker. Like, dude, that's a good example for you to have. He's a great man.
Love to see the young people into memorabilia and collectibles.
Yes.
Collected cars growing up in every sport. That was a beautiful moment.
And one thing I love about Devin Booker, he seems, I guess you can say, personality a little understated on the court. He's not going to be too vivacious. He lets his game speak for himself. But when you see him making volumes off the court in this way, that's what you got to love in a player.
Yeah, and again, both of those instances, not only the young woman who was hoping to just get cards of Devin Booker, but the young man who was on the court, and Devin Booker said, we ain't leaving. We are not setting foot off of this court until you make a shot. That's the type of memories that people want to make when they go to NBA games. And with everything that is going on right now, I just wanted to share that with you guys, because how awesome is that? Once again, though, Kevin Durant will be back. That's something to smile about if you are a Phoenix Suns fan. I know, Zach Lowe, you said you have no more questions that the Suns need to answer. Should we be looking at them at this point as the favorite to come out of the West?
If Kevin Durant is healthy, I do think so. I want to go back to Devin Booker for a second.
Please.
I remember last year on this show, we had a whole discussion about, I think it was Ja Morant, Luka, and somebody else, who's the next face of the NBA? That was the topic. And I remember saying, why is Devin Booker not in that conversation? And it's stuff like this, along with his game, kind of a mix of new school and old school, three-point shooting and Kobe fadeaways. He really does kind of have everything you'd want, and his personality when he lets it out is so magnetic. And on the court, he is a killer. He is an absolute killer, and he is on a tear right now. And if he can carry that forward, I think the Suns have everything they need to win the West. Last thing I'll say, we mentioned Ayton, we mentioned KD. Chris Paul is going to have to shoot. And I know that sounds weird, but I think teams are going to leave him not open, but a little open when Durant and Booker and Ayton are all on the floor, kind of betting on his pass-first nature. I think he's going to have to let it fly when he's open.
Well, they have less than 10 games here to see it all come to fruition.
No, well, I said that Chris Paul was the most important player to their team a while ago, and the reason why I said that is because of the pick and roll he was going to run with Ayton. They were going to need, he was going to be the primary guy feeding Ayton because those guys are shooting on the wing. That's why I think Chris Paul, his game is going to be important, but I think Ayton's success hinges on that.
And as traditional of a point guard as CP3 has done, he's going to also have to adjust to being a secondary ball handler, because KD gonna bring it up a lot. Book gonna bring it up a lot.
Pain.
You gotta be ready to do some catch and shoot.
Ooh, and that is why we say it is the wild, wild west. That's gonna do it for us here on NBA Today. Richard, we still have 6 more seconds.
Ah,
we will see you tomorrow.
Trash.
NFL Live is coming up next.
Make it.
That's you, baby.
Make it.